Let's just pray as we get into the Word. Really expectant what God is wanting to impart to us this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, God. We thank you that we can come together as a family in Christ, Lord, that we can worship you, Lord. God, that we can boldly come and bring our worship, Lord, and every part of who we are before you, Lord. Without fear, Lord, without hesitating, Lord, that we can come boldly, God, and just bring and come before you, Lord. And this morning, as we even sit under your word, Lord, we thank you that your presence is here, Lord, that you are right here with us, Lord. We thank you that your word is alive, God. We thank you that you breathe your word into us this morning, Lord, as life to all who hear it, God. I thank you, Lord, this morning for an impartation of who you are, God. Our desire is to know you, Lord. Our desire is to be transformed into the image of Christ, God, to be more like you this morning, God. And our Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here to come and lead us in this process, Lord, and transform us, God. We yield to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We've had a great weekend. There's the Passion Movement from the United States is here, and a lot of the students went, and not only the students, but my wife and I were there as well. We had a great time on Friday night and last night, and it was really amazing just to worship God together, the students and ministries from all over the city, and all over Europe, in fact. There were just all thousands, a lot of people from all over Europe, which was amazing to see, and such a blessing to come together and to see that God is doing something all over. There's people passionate about God, passionate about Christ, from campuses all over Europe, and you know, wanting to see his kingdom come, pursuing God, seeking hard after him. And it's so encouraging. You know, often we, in our little community, even as a part of the, you know, greater London area, we feel, you know, we've got struggles and challenges. And it's so great to see that God is at work and he's establishing his kingdom and he's really doing an amazing thing all over. And this tour is going around. It's called the World Tour. And it's amazing to see just the testimonies coming from where they're ministering to students and just what God is doing. So, yeah, that was really blessed. And I was just encouraged, and I want to just read from, we'll start with Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now, this is where let's just read there first from verse 1. Now, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven.'" And then he went on to teach them the Lord's Prayer as we know it. But I'm going to pause there. And what's interesting here is that all through the Old Testament, we see the nation of Israel relating to God in a lot of ways, but not specifically as their father. There's one place I could find where David, in a psalm of, I think it was just a psalm of praise, where he refers to the Lord our Father. But on the whole, we don't see that father relationship in the Old Testament. And this is very significant to Jesus here. When his disciples asked, "But how should we communicate with God? How should we approach him? How should we pray?" And then he says, "When you pray," and then he starts very significantly, he says, "Our Father." Firstly, there's a whole lot to do with the fact that he's doing it corporately, that he speaks of "our." But very significantly, he starts something here, a theme that goes through all of the New Testament. And Jesus' life specifically, he says, "Our Father." And a lot of the time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the scriptures of those days were offended with Jesus because he had this kind of a familiarity, I think they thought it was, with God. But he was actually introducing God and showing us and saying, "Listen, we can relate to God as a father. And he wants us to relate to him as a father." And so this is a whole new thing and a very significant point right here. And it's interesting that every one of us sitting here this morning, I'm sure we can share lots of interesting stories. grew up with different experiences of fathers and who a father is and what a father should be. And I've experienced in my own life that we often, our experience of a father and our we've experienced a father, or some of us maybe even lack of a father, have a very significant impact on how we relate to God, our Father, and how we, how we grow in a relationship with Him, how we approach Him, all that stuff. And I'm not going to go into depth of that, but it's, for me personally, I grew up being under the impression that I had to perform to earn my dad's approval. I always wanted to do well at sport and the academic and everything, specifically at school, wanting to somehow know, that my dad loves me and that he approves of me, that he's proud of me. So that's the kind of the way I related to my dad when growing up. And I saw that in my relationship with God, that I was always trying to somehow to prove to God that I was acceptable, that I was good enough. And this is one way how that really impacted my relationship with Christ. And we're going to look at how God is so very different in amazing ways from any father that you and I could have experienced, any picture of a father, experience of a father that we could have had. And now another interesting thing here is that not only do we know God as a father, but He is also the King. The King of Kings, the Lord of all, the King of the universe, which adds an interesting dynamic to this relationship. Now, being this England's still being a monarchy, isn't that right? So you all know about what it means to have a queen or a king. And it's quite amazing to think that, you could grow up in an environment where, say, for instance, where there's a king that the same person that you run into when you are afraid at night or can't sleep when you're a little child is the person that is in charge of the whole country, or that is the commander of the commander in chief of the armies of the nation, or that same person that the little boy runs into his dad's lap and is the same person that the next day in older times he has to bow to with the rest of the nation. So what we see here is there's an interesting, it's not sometimes challenging for us, I believe, but a place where we learn to relate to God as our daddy, but at the same time knowing that He is the King of Kings. He's the commander of the hosts of the armies, of the angels. He is the ultimate authority in all of creation, all of the universe. And I'm going to look a little bit more of that later on. But yes, let's just keep it at that for now. So we learn to relate to Him in a little bit of a different way in different settings. Now Galatians 3:26, Paul writes to the Galatians, "We are all sons," just in verse 26, "for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That whole chapter talking about our relationship to God through Christ. And this is exciting because this means that everybody, every person has this invitation to be a son and to be a daughter of God through Christ. And you'll see all through New Testament scripture, Bible refers to sons, being sons of God. And lady, please don't be offended. It's nothing to do with gender here, okay? I heard somebody once say that to his wife, that if he can be the bride of Christ, then surely she could be a son of God. So it's kind of the terms and the pictures that Scripture uses. And in this very powerful one, every person, every one of us, having that invitation to be sons and daughters of God, to be sons of God through Christ. And then if we're in Christ, knowing that is the gateway through whom we become sons. And if that thing is secure, if that is for sure, we can grab a hold of this incredible relationship. And that's what we're talking about this morning, saying, looking into how does God relate to us, and how can we relate to Him as a Father. And now it's interesting, this weekend at the Passion Conference, they handed out these little band thingies, which if you paid for your ticket and you registered, then you got one of these, and this would then be your access pass. You would be able to come in and leave the venue and come in and go as you please because you have one of these. And this is kind of the access pass. Now, you'll find that in a lot of places where there's secure access or access control, you need something to say, listen, I'm actually authorized to come in here. I'm sure when you go to Buckingham Palace and you want to go and have tea with the Queen, you'll probably need some kind of access pass that I haven't tried. I did hear that when the little flag is up, that means the Queen is home. Is that true? Then she's in. Right. So at least I know when she's there or not. So. Somebody told me they did some catering there on the property once, and there were snipers on the roof and then they watch you every move type of thing. It sounds a bit scary. But there's a certain protocol that needs to be followed. There's a certain pass that you need, and I assume not everybody gets to have tea with the Queen, so this obviously you probably need to be invited, okay? And yeah, we are invited through Christ to come and to approach God. And that is He is our gateway. He is our access pass to approach the King, but also to approach Him as our Father, as our Dad. And I remember when I was in the Air Force, I had to work on some documents that had a security clearance. So they gave me this book. It was this thick book that I had to fill in about myself. I had to fill in everything. You can't even imagine. This whole thing that they take, and then they just scrutinize you and your background. I mean, I was only, 20 or something. So there wasn't much to put in there. I mean, it's not like I'd been many places or done many things, fortunately. But, they have this whole book thing, and then they go and they give you, based on if this kind of meets the approval, thanks, Pete, they give you what they call a security clearance. And if you want to access, again, if you want to access certain documents or if you want to access certain areas, you need a specific security clearance. And I think every time the security clearance gets higher, the book gets thicker and the time gets longer, and it's just a lot of red tape. But the amazing thing is, I assume the kind of security clearance you need to go and see the Queen is serious. Okay, but the miracle here is that Jesus Christ is that pass for us. The blood of Christ is that armband we have on our wrist. That means that even though He is the King of the universe, I can run to my Dad. I can run to my Father. Doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter whether there's a volcano erupting or there's a war going on in Afghanistan. I'm sure God is very busy helping the guys praying there. But I can run to Him and I can approach Him anytime because of the blood of Christ, because of that way that He has made for us. And that is, and that's the miracle we're looking at this morning, in that there's unrestricted access. You've got the highest security clearance. You don't have to fill in that big, thick document. You can approach God. You and I can come into His presence. You and I can know that it doesn't matter what we have done or not done, as opposed to that little thing that I took, that big thing that I had to fill in. I never even finished it. By the time, anyway, that's a long story, but I never even got around to it, and I didn't get to see those documents. But in any case, that depended a lot upon my past. But this clearance pass that we have to approach the King of Kings has wiped out the past, has kind of done away with that, and has made a way open that we can know Him and experience Him and communicate with Him and have intimacy with Him in an unrestricted way, in a completely no holds barred, come as you are, just as you are. Come with whatever issues you think you have, whatever you think is from the past, whatever baggage you have, just come with that. Come as you are. Come with your fear, come with your failure, come with your hang-ups, He has made the way that we can come into His presence. And the incredible thing here is that, you know, often we come into this, the whole performance thing like I used to do, you know. If I haven't been up to scratch this week, if I haven't been reading the Bible, if you haven't been performing, if you haven't put in what it takes, you kind of feel, but can I really come to Him? Can I really approach God? But He says, no, because of the blood of Christ, you can come to Me whenever the time is. And I know there's some of us that might know a dad that unless you've mowed the lawn, unless you've done your part, unless you've put in what you've done your chores, you don't speak to Me unless you've done your bit. But God the Father is not like that. He's not like that. We often let Him down, and He understands that. He's fine with that. That does not mean you cannot approach Him. You might want to encourage you. You might want to, you know, he's working that process in us of transforming us into the image of His Son. So that process is happening. But that love and that acceptance and that accessibility does not change according to what we do and how we perform. We can approach Him. We've got the entrance pass, and entrance is completely unrestricted. In Luke chapter 3, very powerful picture when Jesus got baptized. Let's read from verse 21. When all the people were baptized with John the Baptist, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while He prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are My beloved Son, in You I am well pleased." And the incredible thing this morning is that through Christ, this incredible affirmation is true for every person here, every person sitting here, every person that has approached God through Christ, that you are His beloved and He is well pleased with you. You are accepted, you are received. Again, like I said, it's not, let me just check the check sheet. Did you pray at least once a day? Did you do it out? Were you completely obedient? Did you put in what you needed to put in? No, it's just, you're My beloved. I'm well pleased with you. I accept you. I've made you perfectly, just the way that you need to be. God understands what we're going through. God understands. He knows our weakness. He knows it better than we know it. He knows our failures. But still He says, please just come to Me. Come to Me with all those things. And I give you rest. I give you peace. I give you that unconditional love. I'm going to get back to this a bit later. Now, in James chapter 1, it's quite interesting. James writes, verse 16 and 17, he starts at verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." And he starts it there. He starts the script, the verse 16. He said, "Do not be deceived." And there's two things he doesn't want us to be deceived about. Firstly, he doesn't want us to be deceived about who God is, he doesn't want us to be deceived about where all the good stuff is coming from. Okay. So if you were ever confused about that, every good and perfect thing, every positive thing you and I experience, every blessing is from the giver of good gifts, is from the Father. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. And then very powerfully says, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He will remain the giver of good gifts. He will remain the good Father. He will remain the loving Father until all eternity. And although we go through change, we are transformed, and we go through valleys and highs and lows, He doesn't change. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And, you know, again, there's a challenge here, because often I come from a background where cash wasn't always like so readily available. So you, I don't remember having that complete confidence to go to my father if I wanted something. I don't remember that. I have to say we always had everything we needed, okay? But if there was this big thing or a big tour or a big sporting event, you know, we always had to kind of meet each, we always had to do our bit, and then my, you know, parents did kind of met us halfway. They taught us very well to look after finances and things. But again, there's this thing that God says, that there's this open door that He opens to us, and He says, come to me with everything. Come to me with your heart's desires. Come to me with whatever crazy your desire is. Just bring it to me. And I think that's many, it's often one of our challenges. We come from a place where surely I must pay something. Surely I must give something in return. Surely if it's not now, I'm going to pay later, or I'm going to have to do something to deserve this somewhere. But God says, come, and come with that expectation. Come with that expectation that I want to give you every good and perfect gift. Come with that expectation that my heart is for you, that my favor is toward you, that the power of the King of Kings is on your side. That incredible invitation. And again, it doesn't mean that, you know, whatever we ask for, whatever we think we need, God's just going to give you that Ferrari just the day after you got your license. He's surely more concerned about your safety than about you having to drive whatever you like. But the knowledge and that expectation and that knowing what's the worst that can happen. You know, I can run to God and I can ask Him, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen, that He can say, no, my son, that's not going to be a blessing for you right now. But that doesn't change the way I love you. That doesn't change what I've done for you. That doesn't change that you can come into my presence. This tricky, difficult thing that you're going through now, don't run away. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change my love for you. It doesn't change the provision I've made for you. It doesn't change the unrestricted access. And often we get offended with God because now I'm going through this trial or going through a difficult situation. But God, where are you? And He says, nothing has changed. Nothing changes. You know, in the same way that when we mess up and we on our own accord go into the wrong direction and mess things up, God isn't saying, okay, now it's over. Well, that was the last straw. Okay. No, the door's open. That doesn't change. Doesn't change His love. Doesn't change His acceptance. Doesn't change for the way that He receives us when we run to Him. And I want to challenge us this morning to change the way we approach God in terms of our expectation. When last have you gone to God with something where you think, this is so crazy, but I'm going to ask it anyway? When last did you go to God and say, Lord, this is on my heart? Whether it is for something physical, whether it is something to do with a relationship, whether it is a salvation of someone. He says, come to me, bring that stuff, bring your desire, bring your heart, share your heart with Him. He's so ready to respond. And you can come with a confidence, and you can come with the knowledge that you will not be rejected, you will not be turned away. Even though it looks like the flag is down or it's up, you don't know, is He in, is He not in? God is there, He's ready, He's not sleeping, He's not on holiday, He's not busy, He's not working. You can come to Him. You can approach Him. You can come boldly. He's the giver of good gifts. And I want to challenge us, if this is something that practical to do this week, look for the little things in every day that God is there, that shows you that He is there, and thank Him for it. Walk in that gratitude of, Lord, look at this amazing day. Look at what You've done. And it's so amazing. When we look out for the hand of God upon our lives, we notice it everywhere, because it's everywhere. Because He's been before us. Because He has covered where it could have been a disaster. Because He made provision where we lack. Because He's gone before us and He comes behind us. And I want to challenge you even this week, go and look out for His hand and you'll be astounded. And there's no other way that we can't but be grateful. Can't but come to Him with that joy in our hearts and say, Lord, You're awesome, God. Look what You've done. Look at just the way You've all over my life. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrates His love that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. In the worst place possible, you know, in the worst state possible, and I think He did this on purpose, saying, listen, there's no worse place than this as being a sinner. And in that state and in that place, I'm going to demonstrate my love so that you can never doubt my love in any other context. Because in this worst place possible, I send my son Jesus to die for you. And that's how He demonstrates His love. And you know, often as people, we want to see, you know, if you're working in a relationship with someone, whether it be family or friends, there comes a place in every relationship where there has to be a demonstration of love. Do you agree? If it's just a kind of a cute acquaintance that you see greet in passing now and again, it's not so serious. But if it's going to be a real friendship or a real relationship, there needs to be a demonstration. There needs to be a something that you can see, oh, but this is for real. And there's powerful turning points, and often in our relationships we know, okay, this is not just an acquaintance. This is someone I can trust. This is someone I can really love. This is someone I can have a relationship with. And I remember such a turning point in my relationship with my father. I was just finished school, and I'd applied to study engineering, and there was something, a discrepancy with my mathematics mark that it kind of might have had an influence of me being able to study engineering. So you guys didn't have that problem. But it did turn out later that after they'd remarked it, it was fine after all. In any case, but at that stage, my mark wasn't fine, and I had to write an entrance exam at the university to show them, listen, I can do this thing, let me into this course, type of thing. Okay. So what happened is we were on holiday, quite far away from home, and I had to write this exam, so I was blessed with a plane ticket that I could fly home and write the exam. And then my family would come home later so that I didn't disrupt the whole holiday. So now I'm home alone. I had my license, my driving license, for about 3 months. Two and a half of those months, I was writing exams, and I had torn ligaments in my foot. So, you know how it works. After you get your license, that's only when you learn to drive. Because I don't know, it's like that in South Africa. Because you have to do all these crazy things, and nobody ever does. Like when you stop at a stop street, you look everywhere else, but not on the road. You know, you have to look like this. People look a little bit crazy when they do that. You pull up the handbrake. You know, if you stop next to a learner driver, they kind of doing this. Any case, so I hadn't really had any driving experience. We're living on a place where there's a dirt road, long story short, they're working on the road, there's a lot of loose gravel, I'm late for my test. And this is like the make or break test, because if I don't make it in time, I don't study. If I don't make the test, I don't get to study. So it was quite a bit of a tense situation. So I'm driving a lot faster than I should be. And lo and behold, make the most rookie error possible. If you're driving on a dirt road, you're going around a corner and you lose control, don't step on the brake, okay? That comes from experience. When you step on the brake, it makes things a lot worse. And anyway, long story short, I rolled in that car like this. I remember it was like slow motion. Put my hands against the roof like this, and I kind of just saw the world going like this. And it wasn't funny at the time, but when the car came to a stop, luckily on the wheels again, I got out, obviously in shock. You know, the car was completely destroyed. Okay, there was not one whole window. In fact, if somebody had been sitting next to me, they would have not survived. because there was like it went down like this from where I was sitting. I got out, I locked the door. You know? Safety. Safety first. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I walked up, I went to fetch my kit bag. It had fallen out in the whole process in the road. And luckily somebody came, a friend, and that stayed close and said he would pull it out of the road. He took me home. But now I have a problem. Firstly, I just wrote off a car. Secondly, I still need to write the test. So I get into my dad's new car. Okay. In any case, well, I drove carefully, and like this. In any case, the point I'm getting to is I wrote the test and I made it, and afterwards it turned out I didn't have to write the test, but that's, don't want to go into that now. But now I have to phone my dad because they're still on holiday, and I have to explain to him what had occurred. Now, I know I can't phone my mom because then she will stop everything they're doing, get in the car and drive home immediately. So I don't have to do this, kind of save the holiday for the rest of the family. So I phoned my dad. And now it's one of these turning points because I know my parents, that car was like the student car. My older sister was using it. I was going to be using it. There's not a lot of cash lying around. This is kind of, you know, the car. And so I'm afraid because I don't know what his response is going to be. And there comes this kind of, I don't know what I'm going to expect. I'm scared because it's just a lot of money. You know, this thing is down the toilet. It's never going to be fixed. And I phone my dad, and a very powerful thing happens. Because my father doesn't get upset. All he wants to know is whether I'm okay. All he wants to know is, are you fine? Are you in one piece? Are you okay? Are you going to be fine alone at home? Are you all right? And you know, that thing, that turns something in your relationship, because then you know that you are worth more than any vehicle or car, how expensive or not expensive it might be. Your health and you as a person are worth more than anything. And this morning, that is the. If we want to see a demonstration of the Father's love for us, he says, I love you. I care for you. I know you've messed up. I know all that stuff. But in that messed up state, even while you're messing everything up and just destruction all over, I gave my son for you. And that's how he demonstrates his love. And he says, even in that state of where everything doesn't make sense, and you kind of did everything, you and I done everything in our power to mess things up, he says, I love you, I care about you more than all that stuff. I don't care about that stuff in the past. I've made a way for that, I've dealt with that. I will love you, and I want to know you, and I want you to come to me, and I want you to be able to approach me without fear. That day has changed something in my relationship with my dad. Because I know there's, I mean, now we relate in a whole different way altogether, but when somebody demonstrates their love in a powerful way like that, when God demonstrates his love, you and I can know we can trust him. Even when we are in the pits of despair and depression, we can know the only way I can go is to him, because I'm accepted, because I'm received, because nothing has changed, because he has demonstrated his love. In the most powerful way possible, he gave his son. And that will never change. That access pass, that the blood that has paid the price, that will never change. And wherever we are in our relationship with God, wherever we grow to in maturity in Christ, the premise of our running to him is never change. Even when you are like almost the Pope, and you've planted churches all over the world, or you've like been the biggest businessman for Christ in the whole history of the universe, you can't come to God and say, Lord, because I did all these cool things, I'm going to come. No, it doesn't change. It's still the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. This access pass. I can go to that thing that thing last night. I can say, listen, you don't know who I am. I'll just say, sorry, you can't come in. But I've done this and this, and this is who I am. They'll say, listen, I'm sorry, but you need one of these. And it's the same way. The only way we come to Christ, the only way we come to God is through the blood of Jesus. But it's the perfect way. And once you have that way, you can come. And you can approach and you can know God, He's my dad. I can run to Him even though I'm messing up, or even though I'm not impressed with myself, or even though I'm feeling depressed and I've messed up, I can come to Him. Or when I'm feeling great and I'm on a high and I've done everything right and I'm performing well and everybody likes me, I still come by the blood of Jesus. I don't come with anything I've done. I don't approach Him by my repertoire or my performance or my grade or whatever, or the bonus that I got the other day. Nothing like that. It's because he's my dad. He's made a way through His Son. He's paid the price and I can come. I'm going to skip the next slide and go to 1 John chapter 4, 17 to 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We can't come and say, Lord, yes, but I've done all these things and I love you first type of thing. No, there's nothing like that. God, way back when we were in that worst, the worst possible state, he demonstrated his love. He loved us first. And we respond to that incredible love. We respond to that incredible invitation. We respond to that invitation of being a part of his plan, of being a part of his legacy, of being a part of that which he has prepared for us. We only respond to His great love and His demonstration of that great love through His Son. And I want to challenge you this morning. There's some of us sitting here that are still operating under fear. That are still, when things go wrong and the wheels fall off, we somehow think God has deserted us and we start blaming God and we start blaming ourselves. And I want to say to you now that is not the perfect love of God. His love towards you and I is perfect. If we allow that love to fill our hearts, it will drive out every fear. Everything that I think I need to perform, or I need to impress, or I need to do something, that perfect love will drive out that fear so that you can come boldly and so that you can come running when things go wrong or when things go right. And the amazing thing is we can have boldness. Even in the day of judgment, we know it's not because of what I've done. I can come running. Whether the flag is up or down, like I said, I can have boldness to come to Him. Because He has prepared that way. Because He's given me that pass. And I just want to... if you could stand with me this morning... We're going to have communion together. So we're handing out the elements. I remember when, this might be a bit, what is the opposite of the black sheep of the family in English?
Goody-goody.
The goody-goody. Okay. growing up in, say again?
Mommy's
little boy. In Afrikaans, we have this saying, it talks about, it's called a witbreekie. Okay? It means a favorite. Okay? A literal translation, now this is going to sound weird, but the literal translation is little white bread. Which sounds very strange, I know. So I should have used another example. But now we used to joke amongst us kids. And if you think of a witbreekie as like a little slice of white bread, okay, which is now the favorite for some reason, we used to say, I'm the little toast. I'm the toast. I'm not the white one. I'm the toasted one, or the black one, or you know, it's kind of the black sheep of the family type of thing. And some of us here this morning, you feel like that in the family of God. Somehow you got the impression that God's got some favorites and you're not one of them. And often, I don't know how often, but it's happened that you approach God and somehow you get the feeling that there's still, you know, you're not at the top of the priority list. You know, maybe your prayers haven't been answered like you thought. Maybe something bad has happened. Maybe there's a lot of things that can make us feel like that. But I felt that there's some here standing that you feel like the black sheep of God's family. That He's got a lot of favorites and amazing, He does amazing things for them. But when it comes to you, you feel like there's always you're getting the hand-me-downs, second best. And somehow you feel like the black sheep. But this morning, I know God wants to say to you, you are my beloved. I'm well pleased with you. You are my favored son. You are my favored daughter. If we're not going to talk about favorites, I don't know if God has favorites. But you are favored. You are His favored son and His favored daughter. And right now, if there's any lie that says otherwise, I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And I speak into every heart here this morning. We thank you, Lord, just for your presence, God. And I speak into every heart that you, just close your eyes now. Just, I want to see you to see the Father standing in front of you this morning. And He's demonstrated His love. He said, and I love you so much that I've given my son, my only son, the son that I love so much. I've given him in your place. He's paid the price. He's gone through that suffering and that torture. He's won the victory. And I stand before you this morning and I look into your eyes and I say to you, my son, my daughter, you are my favored son, my beloved. I love you so much. You are my beloved. You are my favored son, my favored daughter. I'm well pleased with you. There's no such thing as a black sheep in God's family. He's paid the same price for every one of us. He's bought us with that price. And this morning He wants to come and He wants to fill your heart with that perfect love and drive out every fear and everything that says otherwise, every doubt that keeps you from running to Him, everything that's, when you're coming to Him, it says you're not making it, you're not making the cut, you're not up to standard, you're not putting in what you should. That voice of condemnation, that voice of you not performing as you should. To drive that out and to fill your heart with His perfect love. It says, come just as you are. My patience is perfect. Some of you have known impatient parents. You'll never do it right. You'll never make it. You'll never be up to standard. But God says this morning, I'm long-suffering. My patience endures beyond what you can imagine. I love you so much. I've paid the price. You can come to me. The door is open. And nothing can close that door. Nothing. God will never turn from you. His heart is towards you. His love is towards you. His provision is for you, is towards you. Lord, this morning we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you have made provision, that you have opened the way for us to know you as our Father, as Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come in awe, Lord, of what you've done for us. It's beyond our understanding, Lord. It baffles us. We cannot understand it. We cannot fathom it. Lord, this love that you have for us and that is demonstrated by the cross, that this morning we celebrate it, Lord, and we remember the cross, God, and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for the body of Jesus that was broken on the cross for us. Lord, that torture that you went through, that punishment and the stripes and the beatings, Lord, and the humiliation and the suffering, Lord, that you went through for us. And we thank you, Lord, that this morning we can take this bread as a symbol, Lord, of your broken body. And as we take it, God, we thank you that we are part, we partake of that death on the cross, Lord. And that as we take this bread, Lord, we thank you that we have a part and we receive the provision that you have made through the cross, Lord. The provision for health and life and abundance, Lord. The provision for every imaginable thing and every imaginable need that we might have, Lord. Thank you that you have gone before us, that you have made a way, Lord. We celebrate the cross and its sufficiency this morning, Lord. Let's eat together. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, every one of us standing here know, God, when we look back, there's just carnage in our lives, Lord. There's a mess, Lord. If it's up to us, we mess it up, Lord. Each of us here, Lord, we're heading only one way, and that's to hell, God. But you came and you saved us from the pit, and you paid for our sins with the blood of Christ. And you bought us free, Lord. From slaves, you made us free, and you paid our price, and we are set free, Lord. This morning, we thank you for that blood of Christ. And Lord, we thank you that it is once and for all, and it is sufficient. And you've paid that price for that entrance pass into your presence, Lord, and into your inheritance, God, and into your legacy, God, and into partnership with you, Lord, and into that great plan that you have for the universe, that we can be a part of that, Lord, that we can lay down our little bit, and we can step into that plan that you have, God, by the blood of Christ. And then we can come boldly, Lord, without doubting, in the name of Jesus, that we can run to you, God, as our Father, through the blood of Jesus. This morning, Lord, we celebrate the blood. We thank you, Lord, that you've cleansed us and you made us new. Thank you that you are transforming us and renewing us and making us into the image of your Son. And we yield to that process, God, and we thank you, Lord, for the blood that is truly sufficient. God, this morning, yes, let's just drink together. We thank you, Lord. Father, we acknowledge, God, that often when difficult things happen, Lord, and we go through difficult times, Lord, and we feel that you're punishing us, Lord. But God, we know, God, that there's nothing we can do, no punishment we can receive, no suffering or bad experience that we can go through that can add to the cross. Because the cross is sufficient. And this morning, If you've been under that deception that you feel that God is punishing you and you feel that this thing that is happening to you is because of something you've done, if you're in Christ this morning, there's nothing that you can do beating yourself up and receiving that condemnation that comes from the enemy. There's nothing that can add to the cross. The cross is sufficient. It is payment enough. It is final payment. It's over. There's nothing more. God, we thank you, Lord, that cross is truly sufficient, Lord. In Jesus' name. As every eye is closed, if you're standing here this morning and you've had that experience that you're not good enough, and you are the black sheep of God's family, and you're always getting the hand-me-downs, and you're always getting the second best, and somehow, sometimes you don't have the boldness to come to Him. Sometimes you feel it's His fault. Sometimes you know it's your fault. But where you're at, you've had that experience. I just want to, just where you're standing, I want you to speak to God. Don't worry about the person next to you. If that's you this morning, I want you just to open your heart to Him. Just under your breath, just say, Lord, I know. I receive the fact that, and because God is telling you this morning, you are my beloved. You are my favored son, my favored daughter. I love you. And I want you just to lay that thing down, that perception. Say, Lord, I know this is not the truth. And I repent of believing this thing. And I lay it down. And I thank you, God, that I'm your favored son, your favored daughter. Just for a moment, I want you to just lay that before God, where you're standing. Just respond to Him. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, that we lay down that deception, Lord, as read earlier, do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Lord, we lay down, we repent of that deception, God. It says otherwise, God. We repent of that lie that is from the enemy that brings us under condemnation and brings us under in performance mentality and the striving. We lay it down and we repent in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you right now, Lord, that every person in this place knows, God, that they are accepted and they are your beloved. And that you receive them just as they are, every one of us, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that right now, by your perfect love, that you drive out every fear in the name of Jesus, every fear of failure, every fear of rejection. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your perfect love, to drive out that fear, to cast it out, Lord, that we might know that acceptance, that we might know that confidence when we come to you, that when we approach you, God, it will be as your favorite. And I can come to God this morning as His favorite. I know I can ask Him anything. I can share my heart with Him. I can trust Him because I'm His favored son and His favored daughter. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close the service. If God has spoken to you specifically this morning and you need just someone to pray with you, I'm going to be in the front here, and God is ready to meet with you in a special way. So I want to challenge you, if you have any need at all, if it's in response to the message, or you're going through a crisis and you need just someone to pray with you, or you've got a need, please come to the front. We'd love to minister to you. God bless you as you go into this week. Go as the favored son and the favored daughter. When you go into this week and when you approach God, no, His favor is on you. His heart is toward you. You know, when we were young and you were comparing dads, my dad, he's the best. There's always something better. You know, no, but my dad, he's got the best goal. My dad is the strongest. Our dad is the king of the universe. And you're his favored son and his favored daughter. I want to challenge you this week to approach Him as that, that expectation. Amen. God bless you. Please come forward if you need prayer. Join us for some refreshments. Have a great week. Go with the blessing and the favor of God. And we'll see you soon. God bless.